Hi, this side of the room, who I didn't even know was here. Hi. It's really nice to be here. Thanks, Joan, and thanks, Chris. One of the things that I do at Chatham in the MFA program there, one of the things I'm most proud of is that I get to be the editor-in-chief of our literary journal, The Fourth River. Thank you. Many of you probably know that Chatham is sort of famously the home of Rachel Carson as our most famous alum. She graduated with a bachelor's degree, I don't remember the year, when we were Chatham College for Women. And a lot of our programs in general are sort of built around her her ethic, and certainly the MFA program is. And so The Fourth River is a journal of nature and place. And since I have taken over as editor in 2013, we've tried to do theme issues or theme folios in a lot of our print issues. And this one comes from 2016, and it's the climate change issue. And I actually wanted to spend most of my time here in front of you, sharing some work from that issue, because the writers, they really, I'm in awe of them. I think they do something that I'm not very good at doing, which is to find the language to talk about this thing, which is really utterly terrifying to me, to be honest. So I'm going to read a few poems from issue 13, spring 2016. Okay. This first one is called Anthropocene, and the writer's name is Madison Jones. We won't disappear like the bees who forget us with open mouths, honeyed like drunks. The bees who forget, pressing their dusty bodies, honeyed like drunks, into dry valleys. Pressing their dusty bodies into the sky, a darkening dream echoing in the dry valleys with answers we ignored. Into the sky, a dream darkening, those places we were before. With answers we ignored, darkness surrounds us. Those places we were before became something new from the answers we ignored, forgetting ourselves like a river. We became something new, opening our mouths, forgetting ourselves like a river. We won't disappear. Okay. I'm dropping pink paper, sorry. Okay, I'm actually delighted because one of the poems that I wanted to read tonight is actually written by someone who's sitting right next to me at this table, Daniela Bacilli, who's a wonderful poet who was featured in this issue, and with her permission, I hope, I'm going to read her poem, I'm going to read her poem, The Homegrown Kind. Knowing something new about abandonment, I'm riding back to South Fayette, where country air is smoke and the groundwater radioactive. Like you, I've my righteous anger, my many deaths, and a new daydream to steal the wheel, swerve the bus into that natural gas tanker to my left. Let's start the end of the world here. I love that poem. I love this poem, and I remember reading it when we were putting the issue together, and just that last image just, you know, did that thing. So thanks, and thanks for letting me read it tonight. Yeah, okay. All right. I think I lost one of my papers. Oh, well, give me just a second. Okay. Prepping by Hila Ratzabi. How many sweaters? How many cans of soup? How much water for how many days? How to fit the toilet paper, batteries, and gun? How to choose the essential from the non? How to get music on the weather radio? How come tweezers? How come gloves? How come safety goggles? Safe from what? Why a pickaxe? What if it rusts? Why that dust mask? Dust from what? Is that flashlight water resistant? Is your heart screwed on tight? Did you remember to pack the cats? How many books can we take? How long before the hunger eats our trust? How long before night shuts its lid over our heads? How will I find you in the bluest dark? Call me when you're on your way home. I found a signal hidden in the first old cell. I'm laying out your socks across the kitchen floor, planting a seed in the blackened sky. I'm making a fire for you. I'm ready. Come home. The ice is breaking. Yeah, all the poems in this issue are like that. They really are. We were so very lucky to get these wonderful gems. This is a similar kind of poem. We ended up getting a lot of poems about prepping, about preparing. This is The Calm Before by Liz Dreyer. Fresh batteries, water jugs, check. Trash cans in the garage. Don't dive in the pool or you'll smack your head on a lawn chair. Ha ha. Good thing the baby's off formula. That cell phone comes in handy. Which shelters take pets just in case? Look at that nut on the TV getting soaked. Anything for ratings. Zones 1 through 3 evacuating. Have fun crossing the skyway, dudes. Good thing we're 12 miles from the coast. Remember Charlie in 04 turned inland? Electric's the first thing to go. Got your flashlights? Poor Mrs. Bates with that oxygen tank. Where's the radio? What was that crash? Get away from the windows. The bathroom's the safest place. Hurry, once the roof goes. Okay. I'm gonna read one more from this issue and then two more short things. And this one, I'm gonna try to do this justice. It's called The New Nature Poem, which when I read this also in our submissions queue, I thought, The New Nature Poem is a really bold title. What is this poem going to do, right? But this is Martha Solano, and I trust her. The new nature poem will reside in the lattice of latrines, will sway with horizontal parataxis, will writhe in plastic, cavort with PCBs, will sport a durable polyresin deer along a real mass-wasting deer, browsing on Gary Oak seedlings, restoring a smoldering grove. Will have, instead of a tail in its mouth, the word sprawl. Instead of an ocean corroding barrels of nuclear waste crowding its floor. Instead of nostalgic reverence, an unfixed indigenous drum leaking Agent Orange. Instead of false construct pastoral, a Micronesian bomb test victim's leukemia. Instead of prelapsarium pastoral bliss, the poison in the soul of a pineapple. In the new nature poem, wranglers and XLTs looped a loop along the surf, lovers smooch to the tune of a finless porpoise die-off. In this poem, with its home on the range of dictions, with its widening swath of vicious bitumen, with its goopy spill, its Navajo insult, its Duwamish denial of federal recognition, with its space for both the visible and invisible, with its nipping and tucking of restorative timeless, with its not even quasi-religious, the rubbish bin spilling empties from its craw will not be cordoned off, and for breezing the outhouse will be outlawed. All binaries banished, replaced by an embrace of leaf blower and bunchberry, wrap around redwood deck and big fin bobtail squid, cesspool and untarnished tarn, belly up tortoise and Hessel's hair streak, premier prefab and custom eco cabin, Moncala and satellite dish. If you touch this poem, wear gloves for the roundup it romps in, a mask for the endocrine disrupting pesticides drifting from its central valley in a climate altering drought induced cloud that spans stanzas, bridges, highways, penetrates windows and screens toward your very own exit ramp, toward your what you thought was pristine. This eco-spectacle rife with bursting with asbestos, glad bags gutted with grooves once grooving, new gloomy with strip mall and big box, where caterpillars, 797s, dozers and drillers, where dumping and fracking, where you just might catch the trill of a white-crowned sparrow, spot a California poppy, all heel all squeezing through a crack. But mostly where weed whackers whine, where jet skis mow down spinning phalaropes, mostly airbrushed rivers, waterfalls torn in half, replaced with a billowing smokestack, with beak-deformed swallows, albino weasels, wizens munching moss where radiation levels spike to Everest heights, down a piece to a phosphate-choked stream, an uneco-friendly detergent, 0% green. Guaranteed, behind each saxifrage, each nodding onion, a tailings pond and a landfill, a stench that'll make you long for a whiff of smashed skunk. Reaching out to soothe you, the twisted arms of the last three species of endemic sea stars, ripping themselves apart, arms crawling away in opposite directions, insides spilling out. Woo! Okay, so this was not planned, but as I was listening to the other poets who, thank you so much, wonderful to hear your work, I was thinking about how to save the planet, and I've also been thinking about, my husband and I have been planting things this summer so far, and I was telling him today that I feel like now that I have been awakened to invasive, you know, all the invasive green around us, the knotweed and the garlic mustard and this and that, I can't unsee it, and I'm having a hard time appreciating gardens now because I'm looking at them and all I see is, oh my God, is this invasive? Is this, you know, should this be here? Should I pull this out? So it's hard. And I think actually one way to save the planet is really just to write poems. And so I'm actually gonna read two really short poems of mine, well, one of mine and one of somebody else's. And one of them, mine is actually an ode to an invasive. So this is garlic mustard, and it's for my daughter, for our daughter. It's raining, and I don't want to go with her into the small, sparse woods next to the garage. She calls it the forest, and I remember the circle of stones my sister and I built in our own suburban copse. I'm tired, and it's raining, but this was my idea, to go with Josie and sit with nature, to look for things we've overlooked and turn them into lines. She wants us to write together, and I want her to feel mind and body calm. But more even than that, I want her to trust her mother's word. So under umbrellas we go. I follow her to the base of the hill where I stop and complain about the mud, but she keeps climbing. She always keeps climbing. I am wearing the wrong shoes, the wrong attitude. Say yes, I say in my head. So you'll get dirty, so what? Your daughter doesn't care. But Josie comes down to me, not capitulation, but compromise, because she's spotted her subject, a crop of bitter young garlic mustard, blooming lush and invasive below a canopy of dried out vines. We squat together and stroke the soft green leaves, which can belong anywhere if they insist. She writes in her notebook, soft leaves. She writes white petal and breeze. I'm trying to teach my daughter how to pay attention. How to see. I write in my notebook the words scentless and grassy. I write pink umbrella, but it's stopped raining. I hear cars, creak of the locust trees, our breathing, so many birds. And I'm going to finish up with a poem by my daughter. And these were these poems were published together in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which I was very proud of, and so was she. She's 11. Dandelion. Blooms of a sunbright yellow, petals that are like a lion's mane. Trapped in a field of green, you make my heart grow. Yes, it is growing high, very high. Now pick one, make a wish, then blow. It is in the wind, then settles to the ground. Thank you.
When your daughter's 21, we want her back here reading poetry. Woohoo! We just can't have her back here till she's 21.